Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm To Hear More.
And I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this is another episode of Damn, Internet, You Scary
Actor.
I put a little emphasis in it because of our guest today, ladies and gentlemen.
We have an actor.
He is returning. This is the second time on the show. He is an amazing entertainer, actor. He's an actor coach. He is the director, acting coach at Hillman.
Hillman Grad.
And he's also the acting coach for the hit show, The Shy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, Mr. Behzad Debu.
Y'all real good at the intros. That was really good again. Once again, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be back.
Hey, are we muted? Because they were saying, huh? Okay, cool. My bad. My bad, guys. We was muted because we were talking about.
Hey, don't talk to him like that. He's a new father.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
Cam out here. Cam is back, you guys.
Yeah, he out here doing his thing.
Congrats,
man,
to Cam. Everybody put happy. What do y'all be?
Congratulations, new father.
Congratulations.
On that expansion on your family. You know what I mean?
Happy new baby. I didn't know what the phrase was.
I'm more of an adult now.
There you go. Happy adult.
When you're responsible, being responsible for your girl, like making sure she eats is one thing. When you're responsible for a completely helpless child. Boy, that shit just hit different. I don't envy you. We are done.
At least she's cute.
Yeah, listen, I get it. It's a beautiful
cute
investment.
Make it better.
A beautiful addition, but the kid 18 now. And she'll come in the kitchen when she wake up, like, what's for breakfast? Oh, baby, hey.
That was last year.
That was your responsibility. Yeah, that was last year, dude. Don't ask me no questions like that. We got hella Hello Fresh in there. You better go grab you something. What's for breakfast? Girl, get the fuck out of my face. You're an adult now. I treat her as such. Nah, fuck all out of here. What's been good with you, brother? How are you? How's everything been? I know we're still going through a sticky situation with the strike. But aside from that, how are you mentally, emotionally, all of that?
I'm good. Like I was prepared for the strike. I knew the strike was happening in January. I knew this was all going to happen like clockwork. And so I'm teaching a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And also remember, the strike is only film and TV. So there's still commercial auditions, voiceover auditions, dubbing. Just came from a dubbing gig. So, you know, I'm constantly trying to stay busy, work, and also like find this time to work on the things outside of the industry. Me and my girlfriend got engaged. She's my fiance.
Oh, congratulations.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Family starting on this show.
So she's a fiance now. We moved to a different apartment. We're doing a lot of travel. I'm focusing on the other aspects of life that's not just the industry.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah. What you have to do.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of like, in a small sense, like COVID was, where it was a reminder of the things to be grateful for, the family, the place to stay, the community, all of that, communication with the family and your community. So this is an opportunity to hone in on those things. Now, when it comes to the bills getting paid, I completely understand. You know what I'm saying? If you got to sell a little dope.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I start with kids. You get them young, get them hooked to that booger sugar. As a lifetime customer. That's what the tobacco companies did. They started marketing to kids, and they got them early, and they became lifetime smokers. That's a real thing, man. Do your research, man. You know what I'm saying? Opioids, all that shit. I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying there's money there.
Always educational.
Somebody has to be the flip side or the dark side of education of America, because they would like try to sweep that shit under the rug. And I'm watching a new show right now, Painkillers. It's a movie and it's a series. That shit is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The way they pushed off OxyContin OxyContin was designed to be an end of life drug to make the pain more tolerant for your end of your life. The 70s, the opioid rise hit, and OxyContin came, I want to say 90s, and that shit was basically a pill form of heroin. So people were getting hooked left and right. It was like, of course they're getting hooked, nigga. It's fucking heroin. It's heroin. You give heroin to Superman, and I don't give a fuck how strong he is. He gonna want another hit.
That's
your goddamn mind.
Sounds like a good little comic book offset.
Superman old offset.
Superman tries H. I'd read it. I don't know how that works.
I'd subscribe. I'd check that out.
So commercial work and VO and all that stuff, that's not looked as crossing the line.
No, not at all.
That's completely separate.
Not only not looked at it, it's encouraged to work it, because when you work it, all the money that you make, a percentage of that goes to the union to support our members. Mm. So we're actually encouraged to do independent films, the interim agreements. We're encouraged to do voiceovers and dubbing and commercial work and animation, certain animation work, not all animation work. The only thing that is being struck are the television and film contracts for the AMPTP, which are the seven production companies, which are, you know, it's Apple, it's Amazon, it's Netflix, it's Disney, and it's Universal, and it's Paramount, and I think there's one more. So it, and those pretty much own everything. Yeah. So we're striking those companies, but we're not striking everything else.
Is Tubi okay?
Yeah, I think Tubi
will always be okay. You niggas is okay, man.
There's no strike
you niggas
that will
is
reach
all right
Tubi.
On Tubi, man.
It's hard, it's hard to strike $14 a day.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Tubi, because let me tell you something. Tubi is helping people achieve their dreams. You can start all the shit you want to, but like I saw that clip with a dude behind a tree because the shit was shooting at him. And he's like, and he whisked the bullet around like
Wanted?
Like on Wanted.
Really? I know the special effects didn't hold up.
It didn't like curve around the tree and hit the chick. It went through the tree because his bullet was that strong and powerful and hit her in the back of the head because she's
like, are you shooting at a woman?
Yeah.
What is the best movie on Tubi? I would want to, like, there must be like a movie on Tubi that's just mind-blowingly good.
I don't know, but I would love to find out. If you guys have a great recommendation for
please
a movie on
know.
Tubi, please watch. Not only
on
are we
Tubi.
Going to watch it individually, I want to make a movie date with the Scary Squad and the More Mob. So the
Tubi
best
date.
Tubi movie, put it in the comments because we're going to watch
There's got to be a movie on Tubi called Booty. Like Tubi,
Tubi Booty?
Tubi Booty or Booty Tubi.
Booty Tubi.
Tubi Dooby Doo.
Yeah, that got to be. If not, they should.
Shout out to Tubi.
Hey, man, do what you got to do, man. We out here. We are getting ready for the holiday season. It's coming up on us. Once November hits, first of all, once September hits, realistically, it's downhill from there. But after Halloween, I mean, the brakes are just off. You are just sliding all the way through. And for those that are always worried about what to get people, don't know, maybe have a little trouble with it, I want to tell y'all about an amazing website called Uncommon Goods. Now, this can be your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. It's phenomenal, okay? They section it off. You have gifts for, they ask you, is it for him or her? Okay, if it's a him, is it just a dad? Is it the boyfriend? Is it the husband? Is it the brother? And they do the same thing with the ladies. It's like, is it a mom, wife, girlfriend, sister, cousin? They make it so easy. And then when you click one of those subtitles, then it gives you gifts for $50 and under, under $100, $150 or more. They make it so easy to buy. I just purchased two things. I got this little desk, actually, I know I took a picture of it, so I'm going to say it correctly. Let me tell y'all exactly what it is. Because Farron is always taking baths, and she takes the ottoman in the bathtub, not in the bathroom. I'm like, yo, you got to stop. You're going to spill something on either the wine or you're going to drop this laptop in the water. I got her the swivel bath tray. It clamps on the actual bathtub, and then it has a swivel tray where you can move all the way around. And I also got an inkless instant photo and label printer. Uses Bluetooth to wirelessly print photos from your phone. It's in black and white, but it's super dope. Both of these gifts for $50. Both of these gifts are super unique. And that's the one great thing about Uncommon Goods, that their products are usually high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the USA. They have the most meaningful, out of the ordinary gifts anywhere. You understand me? Anywhere. And you can also like customize it. You can make it for a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. You can make it super dope so people super appreciate what you're doing. And with every purchase that you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million to date. So if we're talking about it, you know we got a good deal for you. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/DIYS. That's uncommongoods.com/DIYS for 15% off your next purchase. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. I like that.
All right. There's three pretty interesting things that I want to talk about
Ooh,
today.
That's cool.
So okay. You're our lovely guest. I want you to pick the order.
Okay.
Just starting with number one.
Okay.
Number one, you a foodie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We haven't talked about it on this show. It's probably the biggest thing on the internet.
Oh.
Keith Lee is changing the restaurant business right now. Do you know who Keith Lee is?
No.
Even better. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Keith Lee is a...
Food reviewer?
He's a food reviewer, but he's also an ex-MMA fighter. So remember that for later.
Got you.
Okay.
Got you.
He's been blowing up on TikTok doing super, super honest reviews for restaurants. And the reason why that started as a good thing was he was like saving small businesses from their doors closing. Like he would go to a business that was really, really struggling. He would do like a super honest review in his car. And it would literally have like a line around the corner the next day.
Wow.
Like people are like getting their restaurant saved, their bills paid. Then he went to Atlanta.
Oh no.
He blew up. Then he went to Atlanta. Completely different experience. But then not only since you don't know who Keith Lee is, that's a better story because we can kind of explain what happened. But then like all the backlash and all the weird stuff that's been happening since he's gone to Atlanta has been just all over the internet.
So can you? I literally don't know anything about this story. But is this going to be that he gave some bad reviews to some restaurants? Some owners tried to fight him, not knowing that he was an MMA fighter, and he whooped their ass.
That actually would have been a better story.
Yeah, that would have been great.
This is okay. So
so that's not what happened. Okay.
So pretty much. He's an ex-MMA fighter. I'm assuming maybe he got saved or just joined the church really, really heavily since then because he
amazing.
Has, like, a very polite demeanor. It's very much like, God bless you. Even if someone's attacking him, he's very much so like, it's okay. I respect your opinion. And to me, those are the most dangerous people because those are like, I know stuff that I don't want to do to you as opposed to the reckless people who are just like going around starting like Jet Li and Bruce Lee. They didn't try to start stuff with anybody because they knew what they could do. So he has a very, very calm, killer demeanor. Yeah. And
he knocks you out, but he gives you a prayer as he does it. he says, bless you.
I've actually never seen him fight. He hasn't gotten in any altercation since he started doing this. But he pretty much has been saving restaurants. Then he went to Atlanta, and Atlanta is kind of known for having a lot of black-owned businesses, and some of those black-owned businesses, the customer service isn't raved about.
Gotcha.
He went to Atlanta and I guess just did a series of videos from popular restaurants where he didn't have the food in his hands. And the reason was he's basically sending his family in there so that, because he's famous at this point, so he wants a completely unbiased opinion. He always pays for the food. Anybody who's like a food influencer knows that if they set that appointment up, they get the golden treatment.
Right.
They get the red carpet,
right.
You know, low wait times, the highest quality of food. He doesn't want any of that. He's just kind of trying to catch restaurants as they are, which is most of the time slipping. So he's going, sending his family into these places that are like 4-hour wait time, no takeout, you know what I mean? And all these ridiculous rules. And then he comes in there and they're like, oh, 5-minute wait time, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, nah, I'm good. And then he does the review, honestly. So he did that for two very, very popular restaurants. I think one was The Real Milk and Honey. And another one was called The
Old Lady Gang.
And apparently just the restaurants were like a mess. Customer service was crazy.
Old Lady Gang?
Yeah,
Old Sounds Lady Gang. Sounds like a Tubi movie.
Yeah, Old Lady Gang or a ridiculous like click. But he gave them like honest reviews, was super nice about it. And now he's getting like an outpour of like all these people that are saying like, you're ruining the food business. You're destroying black owned businesses. And his whole thing was like, if I just do nothing but positive reviews, nobody's gonna believe me. So he's being biased and just telling it how it is. But it's so funny. Like Kev on Stage did a video on him where he referred to him as the Joker because this is a dude who can't be bribed. He's not even showing the faces of his family that he's sending in there. It's like all the restaurants just have to be good restaurants if they know Keith Lee is in the city. So that's my favorite part about this whole story is like, number one, he's actually doing reviews that are like, okay, you just have to run your business in a good way for me to give you a positive review. And then number two, all these people like Chad Ochocinco and all these people who are saying he's ruining their career. He's giving them really polite clapbacks, but you could tell in his face, like, if you want to take it there, yeah. Get your ass.
Ocho Cinco need to shut the fuck up.
Oh shit! About this or in
yeah,
general?
about this, because he didn't even do his research on who Keith Lee was, and for him to come at Keith, and Keith has always been super polite and mm-hmm. and super. Like PC with his ratings.
Yeah.
For him to come at me like, yo, black people, it's so hard to get in. Motherfucker, it's hard to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to get an NFL. You know how hard it is to actually get in the NFL, right? So you ain't giving the same smoke to these commentators that be talking shit every game about these players, no matter how Ooh, hard they work.
Good point.
But you got all this shit to say about a true food reviewer who's giving his honest opinion. These people that be judging this kid, oh, this kid, I've been watching him since then. If he had did this and that, then motherfucker, you don't know that.
Oh, wait a minute now. Hold on. I'm reading that Old Lady Gang is Candy's restaurant?
Yeah. Candy Burris, yeah.
Candy's actually a friend, so let me take all that Tubi movie back. Old Lady Gang sounds like a great place. If I'm ever in Atlanta, I'm going to check it out.
He didn't say anything bad about it. He just, he really gave his honest opinion of the service, and they tried to cater to him once they found out it was him. He was right. Like, no, I'm a regular person. I don't want any special service.
Right.
I would prefer you give it to these people who've been waiting.
Right.
So mm-hmm. he said, well, I'm going off on our Ocho because he tried to come for Lee Key and he didn't even know who he was.
Now, did Candy respond?
Yeah, she did. She did it in a very polite way. And she owned up
way
to
better
it. She apologized.
Than milk and honey.
Yeah, she apologized about the wait, and she was like, hopefully next time we'll be able to serve.
She was just
now,
like,
the
my bad.
Other company, Oof. I mean, the other restaurant, The Real Milk and Honey,
yeah,
they made a video,
Ooh.
Right? It was like, the daughter was saying something like, oh, did you see this Keith Lee video about the restaurant? And the dad sitting in the center was like, who is Keith Lee?
He's like,
the other daughter
pipe,
was
like,
you don't know who Keith Lee is? And he was like, should I? And does right. this. And then they post this whole thing, basically not taking any ownership. And then supposedly, allegedly, one of the managers that was at that place said something very derogative. She was like, y'all gonna let this autistic dude tell y'all where
Whoa.
To eat? This is just the internet anyway. She
that was,
said that.
That was from The Real Milk and Honey?
That was from the manager wow. at The Real Milk and Honey, allegedly.
Those two moves kind of showed me how that restaurant's run, though.
9 times out of 10, if you're making a video, just don't. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
If you're not an entertainer and you're about to make a video, put a camera in front of your face,
oh my
just
God.
Don't do that.
The context was so bad. It made him look like he ran a restaurant that had horrible customer service. Because he was basically like had the shades, a suit. He was smoking a pipe. He was like, who
he
is that?
He looked like a I don't shady... Know him. What do they call those people that use club promoter, like a shady promoter, like a comedy club promoter or a comedy show promoter? He looked shady as hell.
Mm. Yeah, it was a little off putting, and it kind of like, I don't know. Anytime you just like redirect any type of like accountability, he could have just been like, "Damn, my bad." We Keith Lee came and he saw a bad example of how my restaurant is run.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to do better to fix that. That would have been so much better. But
from
he was
the
just
outside,
like,
you can't just make positive reviews all the time or your reviews don't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He's right
exactly.
about that. But whatever my response is going to fall on, I'm Team Candy. So that's
cool. I hear it.
Whatever makes Candy happy.
I hear it. And you know what? I appreciate you saying that because Keith he's reviewed restaurants of his friends, like Kevin Hart,
mm-hmm.
and he gave his honest opinion. And that's the shit I respected, because I tried Hart House, and I thought it was okay. But I'm also not big on vegan food. And he will say that. He was like, this was okay in my opinion, but also this isn't really my forte. I don't really rock with this on a regular basis, so I'm going to give this, but it's on that. But if you do like this, I encourage you to try it, because your opinion might be completely different than mine, because you prefer this. Like when he did Lil Baby's restaurant, Lil Baby restaurant does a lot of seafood. He's allergic to shellfish, so he couldn't even partake in it. So his family did that one.
Gotcha.
So I will say that he tries his very best to be as accommodating and fair as possible with these restaurants.
That's why I like this story. You're kind of seeing both extreme sides of the spectrum, and it kind of opens the question, like, what do we want? Do we want honest food reviews, or do we want to see somebody championing like restaurant after restaurant and just the positive, like they kept our doors open, like
mm-hmm.
does that make us suffer as consumers of Keith Lee? Because like millions of people do food reviews, but mm-hmm. if I know that your completely unbiased, completely unchanged by how the restaurant is. You get your food and you give an honest review regardless of if it's good or bad. As someone who wants to try these places, I prefer that. But then it's like when you look at it from the internet point of view, it's just like, oh, he tore down a black business. Yeah. He's real, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like,
you basically, you,
which do we want?
You would have to set the precedent, be like, hey, I'm going to do a food reviews, but I'm only going to review the ones that I thought were really good. Mm-hmm. So if you see me at a restaurant and you don't see that review, there you have it.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it.
Right.
So that way you have 100% clean mark of where the good food
and
is.
You
could market it as to like not even a food review, just like food you have to try when you're in this city.
Right. Right.
So that's something completely different. What Keith is offering is an honest critic's review of the food, the service, and the marketing. And what he's doing different than other food reviewers is because of his success and his fame. What, 12.3 million followers on TikTok?
I'm seeing 13.5.
13.5.
Crazy. So probably went crazy since this whole thing.
But you know what's it's interesting too is like this opens up another thing. I know for a fact most, like, not just food, most lists or reviews are bought and paid for. Like, if you look at like top 10 film schools in the country, those film schools paid for that to be on that list.
Right.
If you look at, you know, top 50 movies of the year, those movie production companies paid for you to be on those lists and what slate you want to be high. Though a lot of these things are bought and paid for. So if this dude doesn't need to be bought and paid for and he can give honest reviews, the public can trust that.
Do you think that smaller lists like, you know, best restaurants in Burbank, do you think those are paid for by the restaurants too? Because a lot of times those restaurants don't have a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like buying, even if it's like, If you see like a top 10 list of even like actors on like a web article, those are paid for by the publicist. Mm-hmm. Everything is like bought and paid for positioning and stuff like that. So look, some things might be real, but so much out there is not, especially when it comes to like anything that's expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sucks, because then it's like if you're not paying for that stuff, you really have no chance. Like, how do you even compete?
It could even be like electric razors. It could be cars. It could be anything. When you find those lists where it's like top five, it's like, well, yeah, every list is going to have something different because people are just paying for different publications positioning.
Damn, that makes so much sense. And I'm a lister, too. Like, every single thing I do, I'm like, oh, what's the top 10 list on this?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like they figured people like me out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no just journalists that are just like, these are my favorites. Like, I guess that makes less sense than what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Now that I really think about it. Damn.
Protect the real, bro. If y'all want the real, protect the real. And the fact that this man, and you haven't got to this point yet, I don't know if you're going to touch him, but not only are some people dissatisfied and they criticizing his criticisms, but he's also received death threats from him and his family.
What?
And some of the restaurants that, you know, he didn't have the best experience at. And keep in mind, he said it just how I just said it right there. I didn't have the best experience here. He didn't say, yo, this place is trash. Fuck this place. Don't go. He never shits on it. He just said, hey, it wasn't for me this time, but you should still go and you should get your own experience.
He even says, don't tear down this restaurant. Don't do this. Don't go in there trying to get people fired.
People are too sensitive right now.
But no, he says, he verbally says, do not try to get anybody fired.
Right.
Do not call or harass this place. He says this in the videos, and people still have been submitting hate calls, hate emails, all of this going on Google and giving low ratings on the Google reviews, all this type of stuff. And it's like, you can't win for losing.
He's at 14.7 now.
14.7,
bro. So he went up almost 3 million since all this.
But I like that comment. Like, yeah, he's going to smaller businesses because they can't pay to be on those lists. They can't pay to do those things. Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Well, all right. Cool.
I think the takeaway is run a smooth restaurant. Keith Lee isn't the problem. If somebody is just secretly, honestly reviewing, then I feel like it's just like, all right, well, I guess we should just be on point in case Keith Lee comes. Or just be on point because it's a restaurant.
You can't get mad if the truth got exposed.
Yeah,
right. This lady, I watched a video about this, and this was sometime last week, and she made the most sense of this whole situation, but a lot of people ain't ready for it. She said Keith Lee did not expose these businesses. Keith Lee exposed the problems that these businesses had been having but lacked to address.
Mm-hmm.
When a company does something like, say, we're not doing takeout orders on Saturday because the demand is so high and we don't want it to impact the customers that are choosing to have the dine-in experience, that means they have chosen not to address the fact that the demand is so high. So you've chosen not to hire more cooks on Saturdays or on the weekends to make sure that you're still able to fulfill the orders that do want takeout because they have a time crunch or they have limited time. So he did not expose these restaurants. He exposed these restaurants choosing not to address the issues that they already knew were there. Right. When customer, when restaurants have these type of rules, it's for a specific thing that they have not had a chance to address or they've chosen not to address. A lack of staff, not imposing not a curfew, but a time limit on how long people can sit. Any of those type of things, the things that you chose not to address. So now you're making the customer suffer for your lack of attention to this issue of your restaurant or your business. And when she put it like that, it was like, nigga, that's
yeah.
You can't argue. She was like, this is what I do. I do this for businesses. I help them address these problems so they don't have to pass it on to the customer. Mm-hmm. The customer shouldn't have to worry about that.
What is she?
She is a marketing strategist and
for restaurants?
For business in general.
Oh.
But she just said this it's is a good her source. Take on it. Yeah, she's like, I've been doing this for over 10 years. Source. Like, this is what I do, and I was like, she 100% right with that. You 100%. Cannot fault someone for that. But
it's just another reason why I would never open a restaurant. That is a difficult. It seems like a very
the
difficult
profit
business.
Margin on restaurants is so small, bro. Because you got to think about people getting orders wrong, sending stuff back, mm-hmm. all of that. The overhead is crazy. So the best restaurants. More restaurants make the best money on liquor. That's why liquor is so important to restaurants. That's why liquor licenses are so important to clubs and restaurants because mm-hmm. you buy a $60 bottle of vodka, right? You sell shots for $20. You sell mixed drinks for $22. You're going to get 30 drinks out of that bottle. And you only spent $60 and you're charging $20 to $22 of that?
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the money is when it comes to clubs. That's where the money is when it comes to restaurants, strip clubs, all of that. It's always the alcohol. The food is just like, hey, we got some good potatoes.
You make a dollar. And you're wasting food, too, because if you don't want frozen food, you got to have fresh food. And you got to guess what you're going to do. So it's like, oh, let me buy 12 steaks. You only sell 8. Yeah. 4 of them got to go out.
Damn.
Because you didn't sell those.
So sales forecasting has its benefits, but even still with like with right now, with what's going on with our economy.
Even more reasons.
Places aren't selling what they're not hitting last year's numbers.
Right.
Because rent is so crazy, especially like in places like LA and New York and shit where the cost of living, bro. My homegirl is here. Shout out to her. We'll talk about her in a minute, but like she was like, I thought LA was expensive. I was like, have you got gas yet? $6 or $7 a gallon. Have you got gas yet? So it's even hard for restaurants to make last year's numbers because it's so crazy.
Damn.
What about y'all electric bills? My shit is like insane. Right now. My electric bill is like half the damn rent.
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy. I even remember paying like $60 for an electric bill. Now it's like $600.
It's water. I'm here because it's L.A. It's water and
it's
power.
It's water and power,
so you got
right.
both of them. Now, water ain't super crazy, but
y'all
if you got
y'all not paying for water and power other places?
Wait, you pay for water?
I pay for water, yeah.
Yeah.
In Chicago, together. You didn't. You
yeah, did? In Illinois, you didn't.
But it was interesting. My last apartment in L.A., I did not have to pay water. I just paid electric. Water was like in the building.
Water depends on the city. Sometimes the landlord takes it over, and then they defer it to like the rent, and that's why the rent may be a little more. But most places in L.A., outside of like Hollywood, you know.
Well, I feel like I'm getting double screwed because I feel like my rent is a little more, and I'm paying water, and all that.
And I got to pay sewer, too. I got to pay trash too, on my sewer, too.
Parking.
So much stuff.
It's so much shit out here, bro. Like, you really gotta want it if you live out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so y'all see Cam behind this camera. Cam just had a baby, bro. And he's still out here chasing the dream, trying to make it happen. Y'all gotta understand, like, we're out here by choice. So all the shit that we're going through, we choosing to go through it. We just want y'all to know, like, motherfuckers is really out here hitting the pavement with both feet, trying to chase this dream down because...
Yes.
I question it sometimes.
Oh, I question it. Most of the time I'm sober, I question it, Cam.
I question it when you follow those Instagram pages with real estate.
Oh.
And they'll be like, look at this mansion.
Oh, my God!
$280,000 in Texas, and I'm like, wow, we.
No, that makes me feel like a castle in like Scotland for like $200,000.
And I'm like, and wait,
an actual castle?
Yeah, like an actual
Do you remember
castle.
When you were a kid, what you thought $1 million would get you?
Oh my God.
Also, we were kids long time ago. So $1 million was a little different.
I remember
back
what, like $1 million felt like oh my God, $1 million is nothing I'll ever need for the rest of my life.
And that's now like a couple months now.
Now I'm like $1 million.
Yeah, like a family of four goes through that in like 2 years.
$1 million. That's
not a lot at all.
You can't get a one-bedroom house for $1 million. Not between the 405, the 5, the 101, and the 10.
That's
not
scary
in that,
shit.
Below not
that's
in that rectangle.
You cannot get a one-bedroom home.
No.
There's 800 square feet.
$1 million.
No.
The houses off of Arlington and Adams, like below the 10, those are now starting to go for 800,000, 900,000, 1.2. And those are like 840 square foot. Ooh, like literally like walk-in. You see the whole house.
Yo.
And the house could be falling
style.
Apart.
It's still one down. Floor, yeah. Bungalow style, rooms just stacked like this.
New construction.
And here's the thing, like, it's going to sound jaded, and it's going to sound like, oh, y'all don't, $1 million ain't shit in L.A.
For real.
It ain't shit in L.A.
Real
especially
talk.
If you're
it's
in the industry.
New York.
Because if you're in the industry, let's just keep it funky. If you're in the industry, that $1 million you're only getting $633,000 from
taxes.
Yeah. After taxes, right? And if you get that million from
like a
gig
though.
That your agent and your manager teamed up
they
on, they're gonna that's another 20% gone. Both of them are gonna take 10% of that million. Okay? Now, after you left with that, you might be having what, $400,000?
Don't forget 2% to your union.
2% to the union.
You might have a lawyer, that's another 5%.
Okay.
You might have a business manager, that's another 2.5%. So if you me,
out of that million, you may walk away with $250, $275.
And what's wild is I'm not even talking in the millions. I'm getting checks for $1,000. So $100 to the agent, $100 to the manager, $50 to the lawyer, $25 to the thing, and then you just multiply that $10,000, $100,000. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you come home. So you come home with $350K, and now you look at it, a damn Toyota Camry is $60K now.
Mm-hmm.
That was depressing. That breakdown was actually really depressing.
But that's the reality. And this is the shit that people don't hear
when
they think about doing this shit. And I'm not trying to deter anyone. I just want you to have all the information so you can make an informed decision to see if this is really some shit that you built for.
I feel like I'm learning. The older I get, I used to think like, man, you're paying all this money to have a really cool house. But I feel like what you're really paying for is what you step out of your house to. Because it's like, we pay for where we live.
Oh, yeah. You got to pay the plate.
And it's so crazy because it's like the places, like I went to Phoenix like a year ago. And I was just asking the Uber driver about how it was to live out there. And he basically had the same story. He got a little money, but he didn't want to spend it in like a New York or a Los Angeles. So he went out somewhere to move his family into like a huge house. Like a couple years later, his daughters like went to college. And now he's just like, I just have this big house and there's nothing to do out here. I got the house, but now there's nothing to do outside of the house that I like. And that's usually how the real estate market is.
Phoenix, that's hot, bro. Like
climate change is affecting so
my
much
God.
Of this too now.
June to September, you're not leaving the house
it's
during the daytime unless you have to.
That's all you're
paying
for.
First time I went to Phoenix, I was doing the Vans Warped Tour. I was on tour all these rock groups, and we would have these events and these asphalt parking lots or like these big ass lots and shit.
Well,
You could see the haze. Bro, I got off the tour bus in the morning. It was 8:30 when I got off the tour bus. No, I'm sorry, 7:30 when I got off the tour bus. It was already 88 degrees at 7:30.
God. Right. That gauges the rest of your day.
At the heat of the height of the day, at the highest point, I'm running games and doing the executions at the site with the people that came up to the truth truck. My Vans, the black classic Vans with the white bottom, the gum on the underside, were sticking to the ground.
Yeah, see,
that's how hot it was. And
so your Vans really got warped.
Yeah,
shoes there for sure.
And it's everything. It's restaurants. It's groceries. You go to a restaurant. You don't even order liquor, and it's gonna be $100 minimum every time. And
a restaurant.
In LA. And then you go to the grocery store, and I'll be like, okay, cool. You know, bread, some cold cuts.
I'm saving money.
And then all of a sudden it's like $225. I'm like $225.
This is less than when they made it for me.
Listen, if I spend $225 on groceries and I can do it in one trip on the way up, there's a problem.
And you're not buying more than 10 things?
Yeah. That's the worst.
I'm literally doing the whole thing in one trip, four bags. Damn.
I got an Instacart that was all in one bag, which I rarely do. Like, everything that I wanted was in one bag. That shit was $175. See? Like, what the hell was in that bag besides an $100 bill that could have made it $175? That shit is insane.
Let me tell you something, and we mean that. You have to be a little bit crazy to want to live out here. Yeah. Especially if we, like, for people who are transplants and don't have family out here, nobody to lean back on or nobody to stay with while you stack your bread, you have to be a little bit crazy. And if you are, that's okay. Sometimes that's what it takes. But also, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by BetterHelp, okay? Because you got to be able to balance that crazy. You got to be able to balance that unhingedness just a little bit, and you can do that with BetterHelp. This year was tough. For your boy, I cannot stress that enough. And I'm very thankful for BetterHelp being able to talk out my problems. I've said this before. Sometimes we think that because you're good at compartmentalizing situations and hardships in your life, and you think about it, you gave it enough time in your mind, you think you've dealt with it. I found from personal experience that a lot of times I have to verbally say something. I have to verbally express what I'm going through for me to actually deal with it. Because sometimes I can say something that I've been thinking about on the past 2 weeks, and saying it just verbally brings all the tears and helps me release it and help me move on from it. I appreciate BetterHelp for being that bright spot amid all the stress and change that I've been going through, man. I love the fact that they are always giving you so many options and how flexible it is. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Now, if anybody has done traditional therapy, you know that traditional therapy, you might have a fee associated with that. That switch could cost you 3 additional months before you even get linked with the therapist. And with traditional, you have to go in, okay? With BetterHelp, you got voice calls, you got video calls, you can even text. There are so many options with it. So I want to encourage everyone, especially during this holiday season, do not wait until something bad happens. Do not wait until you've reached the end of your rope and you feel like you can't go on anymore. Do it now. You don't have to be going through something traumatic to sign up for therapy. You could do it at any time. So I want to encourage you to find your bright spot this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DIYS to get 10% off your first month. That's Better, H-E-L-P, Help, HELP.com/DIYS to get 10% off your first month. Do it today.
Better help.
Yes, sir.
All right. Number two.
Keith Lee was gotten out the way. Les Twins. You know any of them?
Who?
Les Twins.
I don't know what this is either.
Les Twins.
The Les Twins.
You friends with Beyonce?
No, I'm not friends with Beyonce.
Oh, okay. The dancers.
Yeah, the Les
Twins. Oh, and they like protected her or something?
That one time when she was about to have a male faction.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. Good guy, right?
That's them? Okay.
Good guy. So these are, didn't know they were French, but Les makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
These are two black dudes. They're twins. Very good dancers. They've been on the Renaissance tour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long they've been dancing with Beyonce.
They've been dancing with Beyonce, famous. I want to say 5+ years.
Oh, so this ain't their first tour with
them. No, this ain't their first rodeo at all. They've been with Beyonce for
killing
years. Shout out to my homegirl, Brittany. She has seen Beyonce in probably over 6 cities.
Crazy. Really?
We'll talk about it in a minute.
Damn. Big fan. Okay. One of these dancers, his name is Laurent. He is, there's rumors of him abandoning 37 children. Just talking about a new dad over here. That times 37. He is rumored, and these are just rumors, but apparently he has 37 kids and dipped. This is either like insanely true or just ridiculously false, but that's such a high number. 37 is crazy, crazy, crazy pregnancy numbers.
I kind of want to believe it because if someone's going to lie, you'd be like
40.
50. Yeah, 50. Why stop at 37?
Why? 37 is crazy. He just went on a rant that was pretty much just like, huh? 37, like, show me them. Like,
oh, so he denies it?
But then he said, like, some weird stuff, like, if it is true, And you guys need some dads.
If I did it,
I'll be a dad to you.
Damn.
But they're not mine. Which is like, why don't you even say that? 37. I was just stuck in my tracks by the number itself because that's random for a rumor.
I'm just trying to think of 37 people in one room and just how many people.
That's so many people. Yeah. Now, I mean, maybe there's some twins. He was a twin. I don't know how that works. Do twins give birth to twins?
It's more likely.
It is?
Yeah.
So you have like twin semen?
I mean, you had to do in your genetics, so yeah, it's more likely that you would have twins and not.
That's crazy.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yo, that's fucking insane. 37 kids is crazy.
Maybe there was some twins and some quadruplets in there.
Think about 37 with like other things. Like imagine if like
37 siblings?
37 cars?
Yeah, 37. Like what if for breakfast you were like, I want 37 eggs. Like, that's a lot of motherfucking eggs.
Well, that's what he said. Because he impregnated 37 eggs. I personally don't believe it, but I mean, if you're touring with Beyonce, that's like 37 nuts.
I mean,
you had some twins in there.
If he had sex with a woman every show, mm-hmm. and then she got pregnant, yeah, the math would.
That's what I'm saying. That's a half a tour.
That's such a funny pickup line. Hey, you heard of Beyonce? Yeah.
I'll be dancing behind her.
Yeah, so like, you know how she got them dancers? Yeah. I'm one of them.
Shut up.
No, I'm one of them. No. For real.
Since 2011.
That's when they've been dancing?
They've been dancing with Beyonce since 2011. So that's over 10 years. And over 10 years.
Sheesh.
That's 3 people going raw per year. Damn. A little over 3.
Okay, he's been with Beyonce since 2011.
And they can dance?
Well, if the babies can dance, he can't deny it. That's what I would like to see.
Hey,
they're gonna have a dance.
This nigga just has to have an American Idol with just all his potential kids.
They just gotta play. They just gotta play a reggaeton around the babies and see if the babies start like.
Nah, they saw the video for the ultrasound and the baby was dancing like the Pepsi baby.
He's like, I can't deny this. Let's have that be the next American Idol. Just find less babies.
Man,
that's what it's called. Less babies. That's crazy. I hope. I mean, I kind of believe it now because that's what is that? 12 funny. Years. 12. 37 divided by 12 is some number that I believe. Let's just go with that. Man. Every tour, if every Beyonce tour, you got one woman pregnant and you got twin genes. So it could have been.
In 2023, there's so many ways
like 15
to
women.
Not get pregnant. Like, there's so many ways to not.
There's new ways?
There's just so many ways to there's it's so easily accessible to have sex and not have it result in children that it has to be a choice at a certain point.
I'm still using good old fashioned condoms. What else?
There you go. Well, I mean, there's vasectomies.
That's been around,
right? Yeah. There's also having an adult conversation like, hey, are you on birth control?
Right. Right.
Before you go wrong.
That wasn't around.
But now you can get a vasectomy like in the time it takes to go through the Starbucks drive through.
35
like,
minutes.
You could just go like get a vasectomy, put an ice.
It's a long drive through.
35 minutes you could from put, start to finish for my vasectomy.
Yeah. You were awake too.
That's from them putting the needle in, numbing my scrotum on both sides, to the doctor coming in.
Ice pack on the balls.
Doing a small incision, going in, clip, snip, cinch, and then suture, go on the other side.
When you explain it like that, it does seem like a quick procedure.
It is super quick. I walked out.
And it's not that expensive out of pocket either.
Is it?
Oh, really?
No, it's not.
Is it like $5,000?
Less than that.
If you got insurance, it's free. I got mine for free. Yeah. I didn't pay anything. Yeah. I got them kids the fuck up out of here, my boy.
Damn.
I've been shooting blanks all year long.
I have a question for you.
You went to the free one for that?
It's kind of graphic, but I feel like this is okay. Does your... Does your material
still come out?
Does it look the same?
Material? Great question. Wow.
The sex gravy is absolutely the same.
Don't say that.
It doesn't come out with the same
intensity.
That was
probably the worst version you could
choose. So a little less power.
But still there.
What do you mean like, less oomph?
Like it don't come out
as... My niggas used to run in the room. You know what I'm saying? They used to run in the party like, ah! Now they just like, what up? We good?
What, like it leaks out?
Nah, it still comes out. It's just like
it doesn't crawl in the room.
Yeah.
But it doesn't run in there.
It don't burst in there.
It doesn't come in the room like Kramer. And now it comes in the room like George.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Jerry's.
I've seen that show.
You don't believe it. Yeah, that's great. That's a great analogy. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know my speed now, though, because of the condom.
You don't know the viscosity?
There's no way that's what it means.
But yeah. No, you mean viscosity is the mobile speed the and is. Force of something shot, being shot at you.
That's velocity.
No viscosity has to do with liquid, though.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Shut I be knowing shit, guys.
No, Google that. Fact check.
Viscosity.
I feel like you mean velocity.
That's the weather.
Viscosity.
What did you hear?
Here we go. Viscosity is the state of being thick, sticky, and semi-fluid in consistency due to friction.
The state. Oh, so that's the thickness.
Oh, silicone.
So
silicone,
some girls walking around with
silicone
some
oils can be obtained with different viscosities. What is a simple definition? A measure of a fluid's resistance to flow.
Exactly. So it's the viscosity's velocity.
Higher, more flow, less thicker, yeah. less flow.
So you got a little less viscosity.
Mm-hmm. So it's not as thick.
Okay.
It's thin.
Viscosity
thin
is
semen.
The thickness. Velocity is the speed.
It's kind of like when...
material.
It's like when Cheez-It came out with the thin version. It's like it wasn't that thick to begin with, but there's a thinner now.
Low key though, I feel like my viscosity might have gone down, might have diminished a little bit, but I feel like my refracture time has.
What are these words?
Increased. I think I'm assuming refracture means when he can get back up again after
refracture.
After
bounce back
after sex gravy is released.
Yeah.
So that's measured by what?
I feel like it has. Just from a personal thing, I feel like it has.
I wonder what that's measured by.
I wonder
by.
If that's related.
Yeah, right? Like, what is the...
I feel like it's also a conditioning thing, to hear you're a particular person when it comes to that, so...
No.
I'm not, he called me a hornball, basically, guys. Particular was a nice way of saying, you're a fucking hornball!
The bounce back.
He's not wrong.
I'd be tired after. I'd be like, give me some hours.
Give me some hours?
Yeah.
No, I'm ready to go to bed.
15 minutes later is crazy. If I'm on a chill day.
It depends. Like if it's new or regular sex, my refraction is it's cut in half. Mm-hmm. It's cut in half. My dick is like, true. let's go again. It's like you spend all that time waiting. It's like Six Flags.
Mm-hmm.
You like you go, you get on the ride. You're like, all right, that was fun. I want to do that again. Just run back and get in that line again. Like, one more time.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Fracture me up, baby.
I didn't know any of that stuff. That was a good little learning. Little learning segment in the middle.
Hey, man, that's what we out here for, man. Each one teach one.
Viscosity. I hope this conversation doesn't lead me to in any position like... trying to look at my semen like, what's the viscosity? let me open up and see. I hope I don't get curious.
You get the baseball gun, the little meter gun, and you point it that way, and then you rub one out and hold it.
So
you
can't hell no. Nah. A radar it. Gun?
So the radar catches the viscosity.
I'm speeding. You get pulled over. What the hell are you doing back there?
When you let it go, you hit bloop bloop.
We clocked,
cops come out. Hey,
we clocked you at 85 in a 45. This is my room. All right. Did we get through all three?
No, we only did two. We did Les Twins.
Yeah.
And we did that food reviewer dude.
We talked about the 37. I'll tell you what, man.
You're right.
I hope that don't affect Beyonce's ticket sales. I mean, it's over now, but
she got the movie coming.
She next, do it.
In a couple weeks.
Hey, man.
She doing the same thing Taylor Swift did with AMC. Like she doing like the tour, right?
Yeah. The Renaissance
tour.
This is Renaissance.
But you can't get it with your AMC pass. You got to buy tickets separate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's a movie theater tour?
Yeah. Like, it's
basically they filmed the tour and they're showing it like a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dang. So she's going to double up on her money for all the people who couldn't afford the actual tour.
Yeah. I wonder if that's going to count toward the tour, though.
Like tour ticket
sales? Because
right now,
The Weeknd is fucking killing everybody.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The Weeknd is untouched when it comes to this tour shit.
Even Bad Bunny?
He just broke some record that I think Nickelback set.
Nickelback.
It was either Nickelback or something. It was one of those.
That's
groups,
crazy.
Yeah.
They were even still holding on something.
Hey.
Besides this photograph.
Look at this photograph.
Hey, you got it. Well, let me see.
I was about to be like, can you take me higher?
But that's not Nickelback.
That's Creed. Same voice, though. Weekend ticket sales. Oh, that's this weekend.
Is Creed a Christian band?
Yeah, for sure.
Can you take me higher to the place where blind men lead?
See? I for sure thought they were
Golden, blind men. Golden Streets, yeah.
Yeah, that feels, that feels very Christ.
Y'all know the deep cuts.
Yeah, well, that's the only song I know.
That's one of them main singles.
That's the jam. That's the only one I know.
Can you take me higher?
Wait, do they got another one?
They had a couple of them.
I'm sure if you, I don't remember any.
Creed's, I feel like higher's got to be the hit. Hold on. So I'm going to put it with Creed songs. If I know two more, I'm very proud of myself. Maybe I'll.
Come on, let's go with it.
Creed hits. How do I type it? Creed, the band. Oh, yeah, I do know another one. My Sacrifice.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, did you guys already do With Arms Wide Open?
Wise Wide Open. They got some hits. Yeah. Hey, don't keep Creed bringing back.
Yeah. This place, I'll show you everything. With Arms Wide Open.
That's so funny. You can have a voice that's just funny and people will learn your song.
Oh, man. Because that's the only
I didn't
reason.
Like the song. Yeah.
But that's it. That's the only three I know.
I love With Arms Wide Open. That shit made me feel good.
With arms wide open.
Bring it back.
And
take
then
it on tour.
They had
Creed.
The key change. If I had just one wish.
Oh, I do remember that part.
Only one demand. Oh, I hope he's just like me. I hope he
strangely enough, remember hearing this in AutoZone when I was like trying to tint my own
that sounds
windows.
About right.
I don't know why that memory just hit for me right there. Damn, that okay. Anyway, Creed, bring it back. We would love to see your tickets, especially on Game Time. Y'all nice. Already know what's going on. If y'all not hip to Game Time, you're playing yourself, okay?
Literally.
Game Time makes ticket buying so easy. You understand me? Ticket buying shouldn't be frustrating. You shouldn't feel anxiety when you're going to a site like, oh, I hope I can get these tickets. Nah, man. Game Time takes all of that out of it. All right? It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the best price guarantee, Game Time takes guesswork out of buying tickets. And when I say views from your seat, what I mean is most times when you go to a site or an app, they'll show you where you're going to be sitting on the map, okay? Or you get to pick a certain section, and you got to hope you figure out what it's going to look like. Game Time has taken the question, the curiosity, the unknown out of that. You click on the seat where you want to sit, and you can hold your phone up and then do it like twist your phone around, and you will see in real time what the view of the stage looks like from that particular seat. I love when technology merges so perfectly like this. It is an amazing feature and one of the main reasons I love shopping through Game Time. You get to browse the Game Time app and talk about all the things that you want to go to and then just get them. It's super easy to do. All the prices that they show you is the total upfront, so you know what you know you're getting a great deal before you even check out. You get to buy tickets in seconds with two taps. It just takes two taps. You in and out of there. Game Time has deal tickets on right now until the start of the event. And even an hour after it starts, this is the place to literally find all the last minute seats. All right, with zone deals where you get to pick the section and the Game Time picks the seats for big time savings. That's kind of like, I would have to equate it to like what Priceline does there, that secret thing you just pick it for this way. So you pick the section, they'll pick the seat for you. They have all type of options for you. So if you are ready to take the guesswork out of buying tickets, go ahead and download Game Time. Get the Game Time app, create an account, and use our code, DIYS for $20 off your first purchase. Again, download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code DIYS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code DIYS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Shout out to Game Time.
You feel me?
We over here talking about apps. I got to talk about these delivery apps.
Oh, hell yeah.
It seems like DoorDash is falling off right before our eyes. Hey. We were just talking about this is a good staple at the end, especially since we talked about Keith Lee. DoorDash. Do y'all be using the food delivery apps?
Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
Too much?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad.
Definitely I've been on
Once
that
I now. Found out that the prices on the delivery apps are higher than the restaurant, I was like, no, not again.
Bro.
Huh?
So a lot of times restaurants don't make as much money from an app order, so they raise the price on the app so they make more money off of it. So you're paying like $1 or $2 more for an entree. Where if you went, or if you got a pickup, it would be like
a lot.
$16 to $18.
I'm gonna call them out. Chin Chin. I've ordered from that place. Chin Chin in Studio City.
Mm-hmm.
The prices are way more expensive on the apps than if you just look on the website.
Yeah, or if you call ahead of time. Yeah. Much cheaper than ordering on the app. Oh, plus, there's not service fees and all of that.
They also don't allow certain things to be accessible on the apps.
Like
you
meals?
Go to Chick-fil-A, specifically the one in Glendale, one of the ones in Glendale. If you try to order the chicken tenders, you cannot get it just as an entree. They will only allow you to get certain things as a whole meal, so you have to spend more money.
Damn.
See.
There's also places like Chuck E. Cheese, which will put on the app. Like, it'll be like pizza now, and you can buy, and it's a Chuck E. Cheese, so you're getting Chuck E. Cheese pizza, but on the app, it doesn't say Chuck E. Cheese. It's like some third party, like, restaurant or some, like, healthy, like, chicken spot, and it's really some other company that's just selling it.
Wait, and it's being advertised as Chuck E. Cheese?
So it's not being advertised as Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese is making the pizza, but on the app, it's like some other, like, mom and pop's pizzeria.
That doesn't exist?
It doesn't exist. It's just a Chuck E. Cheese. But they put it, they rebrand themselves because people are less likely to buy a Chuck E. Cheese pizza than something that looks like a...
That is a wild thing to order on an app.
Yeah. But they did rebrand it as they wanted to have grown-up pizzas. So when grown-ups are there, they can have a tastier choice and tastier options for their pizza.
I hope y'all have gone down the rabbit hole of the Chuck E. Cheese conspiracy theories about them using pizzas from different slices.
I did hear about
they don't,
that.
Because like when you look at them in the circle, a lot of pictures, they don't line up.
Uneven? That's
like
crazy.
Like the bubble, you know, cheese like bubbles up on a pizza and it gets like burnt. It doesn't line up with the slice next to it. Like it'll just have like a half. It won't be like the full circle of the bubble up. So there's a whole conspiracy theory that like if you get like a large cheese pizza and you eat like 8 out of the 12 slices, they'll take these 4 and like put it in yours.
Homeless
and,
rules.
Like, and you, cause you, and then they'll like put together the leftovers of a
pizza.
Bunch of people and serve it to someone else
I'm
as a whole.
I'm not surprised.
That's disgusting.
I think we just talked about this, how hotels take the soap, the bar soap, that you leave in your hotel.
Oh, don't tell me
and
this.
And they
melt
repurpose it,
mm-hmm.
and they give it to the next person. So they send it to a company, and the company... In
don't
my
they
mind,
grind it up
do,
and send it to third party, third
I,
world
my,
countries?
This is my mind. They might be melting it back down and creating new bars or so. I don't think so.
After it's passed through
I
an
think
asshole.
That they're probably scraping one or two layers off, putting it back under a press, resealing it, and sending it right back to that hotel.
Probably.
Because these hotels, you
that
get that soap
sense.
And you throw it away. You imagine how much money they spend on soap? That's why a lot of hotels have started doing
the containers. But there's some weird people in the world. See, when I see those dispensers, I'm like...
I never use any of it.
I'm
There's definitely nut in there.
I'm like, what did they do before me? Nut in there for no reason. Because people are weird. Like, people are just weird. People do weird things just to be weird. And I feel like that's one of those weird things people do.
Yeah, they definitely did that.
But I mean, if they did that, then they probably would have done some weird stuff to the bar soap too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you got to take
but
your
they
own
shit. That off
from
sure.
I bring my own soap.
When I land, I go to the CVS, the Walgreens nearby, and I grab the little travel thing, and I take that with because I don't know. Yeah, some weird people nutting the shit, and like, well, why would they do that? What do they get out of it? You know how many things weird people do that
they get nothing out of it.
But they just do it.
That's the Joker.
You know, yeah, exactly.
The Joker didn't even want that money. He stole all that money and set that shit on fire.
Yeah, my fiance works for a large tech company that does video streaming on a massive website. But she was telling me, like, in front of kids' videos, because kids' videos are, like, the most popular videos on the internet. And in front of kids' videos, some people will, like, hack in and just have, like, fucked up shit flash.
Yeah.
In the
middle
of the
kids'
video.
Right?
Yeah. It'll be like child sex. It'll be a person hanging themselves. It'll be some suicide shit. Some fucked up shit. And I was like, but why? Like, what do they get out of that? Like, what do you get
destroying
out of some kid being traumatized?
Yeah.
And they're like, just to be fucking terrible. Like,
you
don't get money out of that. You don't see the reaction. It's
that's
just
insane.
To be terrible. And I'm like, that's wild. So there's a whole group of people whose entire job it is to like get rid of those. To like watch
that's
those
so
things
crazy.
And get rid of them. It's crazy. There's definitely insane. Nut in your hotel.
There's a CCTV video of a dude. He's like working for like a catering company for this giant event, and there's this big vat of like mixing dough because they were making like pastries, and he was literally on camera like jacking off into it and like and it turned out that the event was for all lawyers. It was so bad for him. Like obviously, like the camera itself would have been bad, but I mean, like If you have a whole group of all your city's lawyers that just ate a pastry filled with your nut,
man. You are going to prison. Mama, did you see the video?
Yeah.
What was the viscosity of that nut?
It's black and white CCTV, you know?
What was the viscosity? What was the velocity?
What was his refraction time? Did he get it back up and get another round in there?
Chunky bread.
I did not know when I got here today I was going to be talking about nuts so much.
Hey, me neither.
Sex gravy, I've learned today.
That's just Mondays, you know?
You see how I tried to elevate the podcast? I called it material. That's how we started.
That was great. I called it material. I like material.
But you didn't like it that much because within 10 seconds you called it sex gravy.
Yeah, I did.
It's material everywhere.
I was trying to elevate, you know? I was trying to keep us up.
Nah, man. Fuck that, man. We out here.
Well, back to the DoorDash thing, even though, you know, there's all this craziness in terms of whether or not the Dasher's nutting in your food. I think about that. Anytime I have a non-sealed bag, I'm like, what if you just threw a little nut in there? Even worse, DoorDash is now warning users of delayed delivery times as a result of not tipping your drivers. So basically, and this confirms something that I thought it was like Uber, where you get out, you do the 5 stars, and then they get the alert. Apparently, they see what tip you're getting before you get it, and then that lets them order it. So it's like, if it's a $0 tip thing, they can just keep getting other orders that tip more and putting yours to the last one. So not only are you getting it late, but you're getting it late because you didn't tip, which is crazy because usually the tip comes after the service, but now it's like you got a pre-tip or you don't get service,
like
which is insane. Now you got cold food.
Yep.
And it's like, it's not like it takes a short amount of time anyways.
Well, and I don't like how the tip is still a percentage of the amount you're paying because they didn't make the food. They're just bringing it to you.
Exactly.
Right.
Why, if I'm buying a $100 entree, do I have to pay you 20% of that when that should go to the chef who made it, not the guy who's deriving it?
Absolutely.
Right.
Now, certain companies do allow you to tip the restaurant. I don't know if that's Postmates or DoorDash, but some of them do allow you to tip the restaurant directly, right? You want to tip an extra dollar to it goes directly to the restaurant, right? But not all of them do that. That's number one. Number two is couple things. One, it's absolutely fucked up. It's absolutely fucked up. But two is we have to remember DoorDash, Postmates, Uber Eats, all of these are services of convenience. Mm-hmm. Convenience has always had a premium. When you buy something at the airport, that shit might be 2 or 3 times because it's convenient. It's preventing you from having to land wherever you're going and then make an extra stop or go without it on the plane, like a pair of headphones or something like that. So you're going to pay a premium for that convenience. Now, what I don't like is that these companies like Uber Eats, Uber, Lyft, all of that, they are shitting on these drivers, which is why the drivers are demanding and pushing for these tips. If they were paying them fairly, we wouldn't have to incur this extra cost.
Right.
I took a ride. Normally, I do car service. We go with the same company because we fuck with them. We'd rather give the money to them. But this one time, I took a Uber to the airport, and I'm chopping it up with my driver, and we talking about the state of the economy and all of that. He's like, bro, I have to work 2 extra hours just to make what I used to make a year ago, a year and a half ago. He's like, do you mind telling me what you're paying for this ride? I was coming from my crib to LAX. The ride was $100, right? He showed me his thing. He's like, I'm going to get $40 out of that.
He should have canceled the ride, and you should have Venmo'd him $60.
Was it? That's
you say $40.
Is that like a black, even with the black rules?
That was with Comfort.
That's
I wonder
what I'm
if
saying.
Black is different, because they have so many
you
other.
Call the ride, cancel it, and then we all just need to be Venmoing each other. You would have saved $40. He gets $20 extra.
But here's the thing, though. When you do stuff like that, this is where they have the fail-safes at to make sure you stay within the app. Because if something like that happens, you do the Venmo shit, right? And then he gets the Venmo. He's like, cool. But then he makes an extra stop. Or he steals something. Or you leave something in the car. He never returns it. Or he actually assaults you.
Right.
Or anything like that. Now you don't have the company to take blame and pay for whatever retribution you may need.
That's
so
crazy.
Those are the fail safes that they have up in place to make sure that you're comfortable enough to ride with a stranger. Because without that, we would just be in taxis, right?
There's a lot of countries, though, that have dealt with this problem with tipping because, like, I mean, I tip. I'm a big tipper. I always tip. But We shouldn't. Like tip, no. That is just the consumer
Japan,
having to pay for the
offensive.
for the corporations who don't want to pay the people. And there are countries who pay their employees a living wage so that the fucking consumer doesn't have to subsidize
those
that
places
thing.
That are like no tipping.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, another thing is like when you're an actor and you do stage productions, there are dressers, and those dressers have to stay late every night, and they have to do the laundry for all the cast so that the clothes and the costumes are clean the next day. And it is customary in professional shows that the actors have to tip their dressers at the end of every week. And I always have, my whole life, I'm always like tip my dressers well, but I always get mad about it because I'm like, wait a minute, I don't tip the set designer, I don't tip the light designer, I don't tip the makeup people, because why? They all get a living wage. Why can't this Broadway theater company pay my dresser a living wage so that it's not on me, the actor, the second lowest paid person in this building, to have to tip? It don't make no sense.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to piss you off even more. That's going to blow your fucking mind. I was in Austin, Texas, performing at, I forget the club. This was this year. I went to the Shake Shack across the street from my hotel, all right? The Shake Shack, I guess they have the self-checkout, self-order things too, like McDonald's and a couple other restaurants, right?
I like those.
I'm placing my order. I like it too. Convenience, right? And then somebody can hear and they got two of these, so it makes the line move faster. I placed my order, and as I'm paying for it, it says, would you like to tip? Who the fuck am I tipping?
The robot screen.
They're not only doing that in those restaurants, those fast food places. They're also doing it at self checkout at grocery stores too.
Yeah,
I can't stand.
Who the fuck am I? I'm already pissed off that my barber didn't going up. My barber is $65 every week.
So
and I tip at least 10 every week. But you know what? You can't get $75 out of an ATM. So I always end up tipping 15 because I don't have time to stop, break a 20 to give him 75, so I end up paying 80. So I'm tipping $15
Damn.
On the same haircut every week that's going up to $65. I was getting haircuts at $10, and now my haircut
Listen,
is
Listen, my haircut is the same. My haircut is the same.
But
it's
how
so
often do you
expensive.
Get yours?
I mean,
every 2-3 weeks,
two,
right?
2-3 weeks, yeah.
I'm every week. My shit is like this.
You be going to like supercuts?
No. No,
do they
be
cutting it with scissors or
No.
Oh, look, I got a fade. You got a little fade. Guard on that.
That looks hard to cut.
It is hard to cut, but it's funny because this is a brown man struggle. Every brown man who's listening right now is going to get this. Only black men can do my beard, but a lot of black men can't do my hair.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So it's annoying to me.
You gotta go to two
barbers. I gotta go to two places.
Holy shit.
I gotta go to a motherfucker who does my beard. Then I gotta do a motherfucker who does my hair. And if they not available at the exact, like if it's not like 11 o'clock hair, noon beard, and if they running late, and now it's 11:40, I'm gonna miss my beard appointment. It actually ruins my whole damn day.
So wait, how does the black version of
you know
your
what they
hair
do?
Look,
you know what
they
do? I'm not gonna put them on blast. I'm not gonna put them on blast. But there's a guy who does my beard. I love when he does. He nails the beard. But then he just take the clipper all the way out. I'm like, damn, I'm not
so
black.
Buzz?
I'm like, I'm not black. I'm not black. I'm not black.
And so they buzz you
so
or
I look
they
like
fade
a penis.
You?
I look like a penis when I'm done because he just go all the way up and then gets like a little hair on the top. Look like that Muppet with the hair on top.
Oh, shit.
And so I was like, damn, I can't go back to him. I gave him two shots. I can't go back
to him.
You
can't go back.
So but then, it was too fadey.
Yeah, but then if I go to someone who can do the hair, usually like an Armenian dude, like an Iraq dude, a Syrian dude, like some Middle Eastern dude, but then they do that perfect lineup beard that you know those guys got like the people sell you a car that like crisp lineup beard. I hate that look.
I got you.
I hate that look.
I got you.
That's so interesting.
You gotta find a middle ground. You gotta get you a Mexican barber. I've been going to my barber.
Hang on.
I've been going to my barber since I moved out here. He's a Mexican barber. He's so
Middle
damn
Eastern
dope.
And black Mexicans
and,
in the middle.
First of all, he's efficient. If I get there at 10, I'm out by 10:15.
Wow.
No exaggeration. I don't go to black barbers. Nothing against y'all, but I ain't got the time to have a conversation about what fight was rigged and this. I don't care about the sports ball. I'm here to get cut, boy.
Ball.
Get me together, bro. This is the biggest one. When they right here, and then they stop, turn the clippers off, set it down to make a point. Hey.
Oh, have you ever had somebody go outside to smoke?
Oh, yeah.
What's wild to me is that the Mexicans aren't talking about the fights.
No, they are, but they can multitask.
But they talk about the fights and they cut.
Yes, I see. My barber will cut, have a conversation, book us some shit on his. He keeps one AirPod in. He's making the fucking order and he's taking the hair dryer, blowing the air so the guy sweeping can get the hair from around the chair. This nigga's a master multitasker, and he's so quick. I'll give you his number. His name is Mike. He owns the barbershop.
All that.
Okay.
And he is dope. I call and make my appointment. I'm there. I've never waited more than 5 minutes for my appointment. Ever.
Bad black barbers.
Which is why I don't mind tipping what I pay.
That's why I have dreads, is because of bad black barbers.
You shut your ass
No,
up.
It is. It is. It was bad experiences. And then the last one was like I was locked out. I was there at like 4:30. They closed at 5. He was like, I got you next time. I was like,
not next time.
I was like, never again. I'm growing my hair out.
Next you got to take matters dreadlocks. Into your own hands, man, which is why I love ShipStation, okay? If you got your own private or small business and you need to do any type of shipping, you need to get it done with ShipStation, all right? Especially with the holidays coming up. Don't get stuck with your merchandise not going out in an expeditiously manner to your customers, your paying customers, your customers that are the livelihood, supporting your livelihood. You got to get with this ShipStation, man. First of all, they're hitting you up with a free trial, which I'm going to tell you about at the end of it. But what I want you to know is you can quickly and easily update crucial order information and reduce errors. So this person forgot to put the apartment unit on their address. Okay, I can add that in from here. Boom. You get effortless integration everywhere you sell online, including Amazon, Etsy, eBay, Shopify, more. So it doesn't matter where your digital shop is at, you can easily integrate it into their system. ShipStation manages orders, prints labels, compares rates, optimizes every shipment, and automates delivery notifications. It takes all the stress out of the shipping, and you can get back to attending to your customers or perfecting your product or creating new products. ShipStation has enterprise solutions that reduce warehouse costs and improve profitability. Over 130,000 companies have scaled their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, and 98%, again, 98% of companies that started with ShipStation, stick with ShipStation. That is an amazing clearance rate, all right? You are privy to the same deeply discounted rate that these Fortune 500 companies are getting, and you can still be your small business. You don't have to commit to 6 months or a year. You don't have to do any of that. And right now, ShipStation is giving you a free 60-day trial when you sign up. Free! 60-day trial when you sign up. All you have to do is go to ShipStation.com, use the code DIYS today, and sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, use the code DIYS, and get a free 60-day trial. Get your business in order. The holidays is here. This is the time you clean up. If you ain't going to make $2,000 to $5,000 right now during this holiday season, you're playing, okay? Get your shit together.
You know who ain't playing?
Tell me about it.
Mr. Beast.
Oh, I've heard about this, like with the fake shit, right?
Wait, what fake shit?
Oh, my bad. Am I breaking another story?
Yeah, maybe.
So you know how he did? This is what I heard. Okay. So this is what I heard. I heard that, you know, he had that hide and go seek thing in the. Have you heard about this?
Mm-mm.
So one of the things he did was he did hide and go seek for a crazy amount of money. I don't know if it was 100,000, million, whatever it was, mm-hmm. but a hide and go seek. But it was at SoFi Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So he had 100 influencers come in. And they literally, like, played hide-and-seek until the final three won, like, a crazy amount of money. And the only rules were you had to be in an accessible place. Like, mm-hmm. somewhere where someone could grab. You can't, like, I don't know, do something.
On the rafters or something like that.
So, anyway, this girl who's an influencer, and I never heard of her, but she got some millions of followers or whatever. She put out a video where she was like, the final three in the edit were not actually the final three. It was me and this other dude who was the final three. And he edited the video to let Logan Paul be one of the final three, even though Logan Paul was not one of the final three. So that means his videos are fake. So she put that out, and she put him on blast. She had proof and everything, like video footage, all this kinds of shit. And he hasn't responded, but now other people are coming out saying, I was in one of his videos, and it is fake. So he's being accused of, like, faking his videos that are supposed to be real. That's how I understand it.
Interesting. Ooh. That kind of falls. That's actually really interesting because I don't know too much about mm-hmm. Mr. Beast. I just know his a lot of his content is divided in one or two things. Like the challengey stuff like that. Like I remember he had one where it was like all his friends put his hand on a Lamborghini and the last person to take their hand off gets it. So like if those challenge stuff were wasn't true in the sense that it's filmed and then the person doesn't get the money, that is, I mean, that's kind of disappointing, but that's also like most of the stuff on the internet. What I hope isn't fake, because this would be wild if it was fake. He's like on this huge like humanitarian run, right? And he's almost like he's like trying to like use his YouTube channel to save the world. He literally just built 100 water wells in Africa and gave 500,000 people access to fresh water. He also rebuilt a bridge that assisted a community that was divided for years by an unsafe bridge. He helped them come together by rebuilding the bridge. Now, all of this is on camera, too. So I really hope that this ain't fake, because to be fake, he would have to build the wells and then take them away.
Well, like, there was one where he helped a bunch of people see. Like, he helped 100 people get their eyesight.
Yeah.
Like, he helped blind people. Like, he paid for the surgeries or whatever to help them see.
Mm-hmm.
And then one person came out and was like, I was an actor in that. That wasn't true.
Ooh.
But then somebody else was like, I was one of the people who was blind. It is true. It changed my life. This dude is just coming for, and that dude's coming for clout after this woman called him out for the hide and seek thing. So I think now people are like clout chasing by
that
making
sucks.
Shit up. And we don't know nothing. The age of misinformation. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's tough, because it's like on one end, he's a content creator on the internet, and that is just, we are not to be trusted. I'd like to think you can trust us, because I haven't seen any shady stuff so far, but if you're just talking about content creators on the internet, it is 1,000% mostly for clicks and views.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether they actually help while they try to get those clicks and views is one thing. Like, there's a huge trend of people going up to homeless people and giving them money as long as it's on camera. So yeah, they are helping that person, but it's definitely not genuine. So I think that when it comes to Mr. Beast, it's tough, because this is somebody who has more money than most celebrities that we probably think have a lot of money.
He turned down $1 billion for his page.
A billion?
Would it be? He turned it down. $1 billion.
Do you know how much he must be making to turn that down? Because it's also the influence. You lose all that influence it too.
He turned down $1 billion.
Because here's the thing. If you turn down $1 billion for your page, because y'all... Aside from the page, he also has the food. He has
the chocolate bars,
the chocolate, all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just the page that he would be giving up. I'm saying, not saying that they would be taking the.
Yeah,
it would probably be sub channels too.
Mm-hmm.
Because just to give you guys a sense of how much he might be making, his main page, 207 million subscribers. Okay, the video that we were talking about with the 100 wells, that post 2 days ago, and it has 55 million views.
In 2 days.
Okay.
In 2 days.
Sub channels. Beast Philanthropy, 18.3 million. Mr. Beast Gaming, 39.7. Beast Reacts, 30.5.
And you know what he does,
Mr.
right?
Mr. Beast 2, 33.3.
He translates every video in multiple languages. So he gets them dubbed and translated in multiple languages so that video will go to 50 countries in different languages and rack up all those views too. He does all that. He does all that.
Brilliant. He's coming for Elon Musk, and I couldn't be happier.
With no tech.
I hope
just
he
ideas.
Fucking laps Elon Musk.
He is kind of getting that persona. I mean, not in terms of like the Tony Stark like lore in terms of like all the tech and stuff, but in terms of just being super, super rich and just helping everybody, that's crazy though. That's like an extra bag I can't even fathom.
Yeah, because now you're getting like you, imagine you translate it to Hindi. There's 3 billion people over there.
I never thought about like, you right. That's why the African dude who blew up on TikTok who just goes like this.
Oh yeah, that guy.
He got so big and they broke it down. They're like, oh, it's because he doesn't speak. And I'm like, oh, but then they broke it down like, if you are an English-speaking content creator, your cutoff is like
here.
Exactly. off top, because most of the world doesn't know what you're saying. So, I won't say most, but a lot of
them. He's coming for Elon.
Not even close?
His net worth is about $500 million, they say.
Nah.
Mr. Beast
is like, this
I didn't think money
was. It's at $105 million.
They did, yeah.
Definitely not
money-wise. Yeah, Elon is at $150 billion.
Having a popular YouTube channel ain't touching Tesla and SpaceX.
Elon got
I thought
more
you meant, like,
money
influence.
Than Delta Airlines
yes,
as a
correct.
Company.
Correct.
By himself.
Correct.
By himself. himself. He has more money.
How you know Delta's?
Because I know their market cap.
I saw a graph of how much money Elon has.
Oh, it was just comparing Elon to everything.
He's beating like Warren and Bill Gates. All of, together, they can't fuck with him.
No, he's got crazy money.
They value it at $150 billion, but he's probably got way more than that. Because the government contracts he has alone. Like, they probably don't print everything that he has with the government going on. But, I mean, just on the SpaceX alone.
Check this out. So, this is, Bank of America has $225 billion, okay? Mm-hmm. McDonald's is at $200 billion. So, now, let's put it this way.
Bank of America's fucking with McDonald's?
So, check this out.
Or I should say that. McDonald's is fucking with Bank of America.
On market cap, if Elon Musk is worth $150 billion, Nike is worth $160 billion.
I'm sorry. As of July 2023, his net worth is $232 billion.
Oh, my God. $232 billion.
What happened? Twitter?
So, yeah. So basically, Coca-Cola is worth $229 billion. So Elon Musk is worth more than Coca-fucking-Cola.
That'd be on my bio.
Costco is worth $249, so he's at the same rate at Costco. I mean, Home Depot, Chevron, like MasterCard, some of the biggest companies on Earth are at the same level as this one man. That's crazy money.
That's crazy. It's like me, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Home Depot.
Religion.
That's above.
No, it's below. It's below Elon Musk.
I mean, Amazon. Or sorry, Verizon has a market value of 150. So he's saying he has the market value of Verizon and Walt Disney combined.
That's a lot of pressure. Because at that point, I feel like the people in my life would be like, if you gave a quarter of your money away, you would save these countries. Mm. And I'd be like, damn, you're right.
That's why they should be taxed.
Yeah. Can you imagine, though, like, you know, when T-Mobile pisses me off, I got to, like, call and be like, I'll cancel. I'll switch to Verizon. Elon could, like, buy it. Elon could be like, well, I'm going to buy you
I don't
guys,
like your customer
and I'm
going to
fire you.
It's mine. Yeah.
Bro, that's what I feel like I said it before. I feel like he bought Twitter on a bet.
Yeah.
Like somebody was like,
really?
Tell this nigga to do something crazy. Buy a jet. I already own a jet. Buy Twitter. Okay.
Wasn't it that? Didn't somebody tweet like, oh, he tweet like, oh, I'm going to buy Twitter or something like that? It was just on a one off. And then they were like, actually going to do it. And then he got too far into the deal.
Yeah. He couldn't back out because he tried to back out.
Yeah,
he tried to back out.
I was just kidding?
Yeah. And then they're like, no, you signed some papers that if he backed out, he would have lost like a ton of money trying to back out.
That's
of the
an
deal.
Expensive joke.
So he lost $40 billion. He lost $40 billion on Twitter and still got $250 billion.
Well, he's charging. You got to charge for if you want. They just got rid of close friends. They're probably going to make it like a subscription-based thing.
On Instagram?
On Twitter.
Twitter has close friends?
Twitter had close friends.
I thought it was unhinged on what you could see on Twitter. I didn't think there was a filter.
I mean, it's got, you can make a group.
Damn. It's crazy. Like, as much as people were hating on Elon's, like, fixes to Twitter, seems like every other app is kind of following suit, which is nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I don't like Twitter anymore. But I stayed.
I don't like Twitter anymore either. It's not
I don't
as good.
Go on Threads.
It's just not as good.
I don't go on Threads either.
Threads lasted about a day for me.
Everybody's Threads page is like, who's here from Twitter? And then that's
it. It would take the right celebrities on Threads consistently for it to pop or spill. Like, if they had Jay, Beyonce, Tom Brady.
I need news. I need news. I want, like, news on my Twitter. Like, I go through Twitter so I can link to things. Like, I want to know what's going on, what's trending.
Porn news.
Get exclusive rights with CNN or one of them, or a smaller one.
Yeah, exactly.
Apps take a really long time to catch on, though. Because I remember, like, Instagram wasn't cool for a long time. Then people got on it. Snapchat kind of, it took a while for people to join it. But then it took even longer for it to really blow up. Because I feel like we joined it and left it before it really happened. Then, like, the generation before us really blew Snapchat up. Like, Snapchat's actually popping right now. Then TikTok was out as Musical.ly for a minute before it was bought by TikTok. And then it was still had that long-ass phase of just, like, nobody messing with it. It's just now getting to the point where, like, all right, fine, we'll be on TikTok. You can't just be throwing new apps at us. Like, I feel like just how our our phone is set up on our main menu. Like, I don't like adding new apps. When I had to add Threads, I didn't know where to put it.
Don't fuck up my folder arrangement, bro.
Yeah, right.
Don't fuck up my folder arrangement, bro. Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, we actually got to get up out of here. I didn't realize it's 4:06. Izzy, you got anything you want to let the people know to look out for, or you want them to check out, you want them to follow your Instagram? This is the time and the space to do it right now, brother.
Follow me on Instagram. It's at BEHZADDABU on Instagram. And, yeah, that's about it.
There it is. Well, listen, man, thank y'all so much for tapping in and watching. Taylor says she misses Vine. I understand, you know what I'm saying?
Vine
was great. 6 Second had a hold on your life.
6 Second.
Vine was very funny.
I don't like 6 Second videos.
Yeah, I don't miss it, really.
Vine was fun. I used to watch Vine compilations on YouTube for like an hour.
6 Seconds ain't enough time to set something up and then give us a punch.
That's a lot, man. Shout out to to Batch and Lulu and the rest of them. They strong that capitalized on that, man. They definitely deserve their credit because that was it took a lot of creativity.
That's a tough platform.
But as always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this is another episode of Damn Internet, You Scary. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you next week. Peace, guys.
Hey.